Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Baba Basra Daf Lamed Aleph. We are holding on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Let's go back to the beginning of the story here. So it's nine lines off the bottom of the Amud. Says the Gemara, Hahu de Amar Le Lechavri. We have Reuben approaching Shimon with a question. My boy is Bahi'ara. What are you doing in my property? Amar Le Shimon responds innocently, what do you mean? Don't you recall selling it to me? Minuch Zavnis, I purchased this property from you, right? This field was bought from you. V'chalteish nechazoka. Not only that, I was here for 3 years. I have established my ownership. I have a chazoka. It's mine. Okay, so now Shimon has to prove his case by attempting to bring two witnesses, right? He's going to have to make an effort to bring Edim to verify his chazok. He went around to look for Edim, and he was only partially successful. Aisi chad sahado. He produced one witness who came to testify on his behalf, the achlo, Tlashni, who comes and tells us that, in fact, Shimon was there for 3 years. And he took the payrolls, he had all the produce throughout these 3 years. So on the one hand, the aide is trying to support Shimon's claim of ownership. But being that Shimon was really unsuccessful in providing absolute proof to substantiate ownership, he didn't have to aid him. So now it flips around. Reuven, the alleged owner, the former owner, can actually use this aid, use this testimony which Shimon brought to support his case. He can use that testimony against Shimon. It can work against him. Why? Because firstly, we have to know that the karka, the field, certainly goes back to Reuven, as Rashbam explains, because Shimon has yet to produce proof of ownership. So the property goes back. The question is, what about the pay raise? What about all the produce that he had throughout these 3 years? Shimon agrees that he consumed the crop. The aide, likewise, is telling us that Shimon was here 3 years, that Shimon was eating for 3 years. So basically, it's going to work against Shimon now. Not only will he lose that property, he's going to have to repay Reuven for all that he ate within the last 3 years. So the Chachamim, who were present in front of Abaye, they figured, Hainu nascha de Rabbi Abba. Let's compare this to the classic, the case called nascha de Rabbi Abba, the silver bar that Rabbi Abba dealt with. Where likewise, we had a similar dilemma. We had an Eid Echad, and it created all kinds of dilemmas, as we're going to see, which ultimately obligated him to pay. The story was as follows. Dahu Gavra. There was this fellow. Dechotaf Nascha Mechabri. He grabbed this silver bar from his friend. So Shimon grabbed Reuben's bar. Also Lekamed Rabbi Ami. Okay, so the owner, Reuben, summons him to the Bezin, to Rabbi Ami. Havayos of Rabbi Abba Kamei. Rabbi Abba was sitting there in front of Rabbi Ami. And what happened in terms of proof? I see Chad Sahada, the Mechtav Chad Femine. So Reuben was able to bring one aid to testify that in fact Shimon grabbed this item from him. Okay, so you can't really deny it, Mr. Shimon. I have an aide who saw it happen. Okay, Shimon was stuck. So he turned around and said like this. Amar Lee says, yeah, incorrect. Chatvi. Yeah, it's true. I concede. I admit to the act. I grabbed the item from you. But, v'didi chatvi. Guess what? It was mine. Go prove otherwise. Yeah, you have an aide that I grabbed? Yeah, I grabbed it. It was mine. Shimon is claiming that the item that he grabbed from Reuben was really Shimon's. So now we're sort of stuck. Because, you know, if he would have... the Rashbam explains, look, let's break down the story. If we would have two Edim that Shimon grabbed the item, Shimon can't get away by saying, well, it was mine. We don't buy that. Rashbam explains, because you can't just walk over to somebody and grab his things. We assume whatever the other person has under his possession is really his. So if two Edim would come and tell us that you grabbed it, you have to pay it back. On the other hand, if there would be no aid who saw the story, and Shimon would say, look, you know what, let me admit it, I took it, but it was really mine, he would be believed, because he could have just denied it. Apparently he's saying the truth. But the thing is that we have one aid who's going against him, one aid who's testifying against him and telling us that he took the item. So he can't really deny it. And if he would deny it at this point, the case would be clear as well. It would be clear halacha, because when you have one aid testifying against you and you're denying that information, you can deny it, but you have to make a shvua. You have to swear. That's the halacha we learned from a pasuk. Two aid have the power to extract money. One aid doesn't have the power to extract your money, but he can trigger a shvua obligation. That's only provided you're denying, you're challenging the aid's information. But here he's not doing that. He's fully conceding. Yeah, of course I took it. Exactly as per the aid's information. But it was mine. But, with a big but, it was mine. Now we're stuck. What do we do? Amar Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami says, Heichi nedainuha daini lahaidina. How are the dayanim, the judge, is going to deal with this type of case? On the one hand, the shalim. Does he have to pay back the item? Well, no. Leika treisadi. There are no two Edim going against him. He could have just denied the whole thing, and he chose not to, so you can't just hold him accountable. Lifteray, okay, so maybe we should just say, look, we exempt you, you're potter. You win the case, Mr. Shimon, because you have a migu. Migu means he could have lied, he could have just denied the whole thing. He chose not to. That shows integrity. That's also not an option. You know why? Because there's one aid providing that information that he stole it. So if he would have tried to deny the story, he would have been held account. He would have had to make a shvua against the aid. Right? Okay, so maybe the third option. You can't make him pay. You can't make him potter. At least he should make a shvua. What's he going to swear? What do you mean? He's admitting to the information. He knows that the aid is testifying that he stole it, that he grabbed it, and he's admitting to that fact. He's not going against the aid, he's not opposing the aid. He's admitting that he grabbed it. You're keeping the Amr the Khatfa. And once he admitted that he grabbed it, he can't just turn around and say, I didn't do that. How about like a Goslin? Now he would be like a Goslin, just like a person who's a robber, right? Just a mushal. A person who's a robber can no longer make a shvua, right? He's not believed. So if he would turn around and deny that he grabbed it, after admitting it, he can't make a shvua. It's like now he's not believed. On the other hand, should he make a shvua that, yeah, I grabbed it, but it was mine? Rashbam says there's no such shvua. A shvua has to be in opposition to the aid's information. All the aid is saying that he grabbed it, and he's admitting to the fact. You can't make a shvua, I grabbed it, but it's mine. So we're stuck. Rabbi Abba was sitting there and he responded like this. You know what? We're stuck and he has to pay. Have a mechuyav shvua. This type of case where there's an aid testifying against him. So technically he has to make his shvua to exonerate himself. But he can, right? She'inu yachal yishova. Technically he can't make the shvua, as we explained, because he's admitted to the fact, he's just disputing the unknown fact. And whenever we encounter a person who has to make a shvua, who for some reason can't make a shvua, mishalom, he has to pay. The only way out is to pay. So basically, he has to give back the bar. Right? If you can't make a shvuah to exempt yourself, you're chayiv. So the Gemara now is comparing this story with the silver bar to our story with the partially substantiated chazakah, right? Shimon had a chazakah, who alleged to have a chazakah on Reuven's property, but he only produced one eid as proof. So again, if, let's go through the options. If he would have two eidim, he would keep the property. If there was no eid at all, he could have just given back the property because he has no eidim, but he wouldn't have to repay for the pay raise because he could have just, theoretically, he could have denied it. So now he's believed by when he says that that it was his, that the payers were hurt. So he has to give out the property, but the payers, he wouldn't have to pay for the payers. Now, if there would have been one aid that he ate and he would deny it again, so you'd have to make a shvua. But here, he's not denying. We have an aid saying you were there for 3 years, and he's saying, 100%, I'm there for 3 years, but it was mine. So he can't make a shvua. So what should he do? He has to pay. Just like the story of Nascha the Rabab. Amalei Abayis, Abayi responded, no, you can't compare the two stories. No, it's incomparable. Whole different story here. Because, let's keep in mind, what was the aid's motive in the story of Nascha the Rabbi Abba? He was coming to obligate this fellow. He was coming to testify against the fellow who grabbed the item. So there you understand that the Eid Echad is opposing him to a certain extent, and it really triggers a shvua, which he can't do, so he has to pay. But in our story, who's bringing the aid? Shimon the Machzik discovered this aid and is producing this aid to support his claim of ownership. So the aid in no way is opposing Shimon. In fact, he's helping Shimon. He's assisting him. This type of case. You don't say, well, he should have to make a shvua, and if he can't make a shvua, he has to pay. No, the aid is not opposing Shimon, he's helping Shimon. Only Abayi, me dumb, how do you compare Hussam in the case of the grabbed silver, Sahada, the aid, the witness, Lairui Kaasi. He's coming to challenge Shimon. He's coming to the detriment of Shimon. In fact, Kiyasa Achrina Ba'adei, suppose, theoretically, there would be another aid joining this first aid. Kiyasa Achrina Ba'adei, what would happen? Of course, Shimon would have to pay back that silver. We would take the money out of him. So you understand that one aid also serves a similar type of function. He's opposing him, and the onus is on him to provide, you know, proof and to exonerate himself. He can't do that because of that. Technically, he can't make a shvua when he's not really flatly denying the aid's information, like we explained. So he has to pay. But in our story of the chazaka, just the opposite. If anything, the aid is coming to help him out. L'siyukos is coming to help Shimon. In fact, k'os achrin about mukmin labiyadei. Had there only have been another aid coming together with the first aid, mukmin labiyadei, we would allow Shimon to take possession. It would fully substantiate Shimon's ownership, because the aid is coming to support Shimon's claim of chazaka. So here you can't say, well, the aid is opposing him. Right? If it's only one aid, so Shimon can't take possession because he doesn't have to aid him. But now we can take the aid and turn it around and have it work against him because he's providing information, which technically now is working to his detriment, because now it's going to provide us with information that he took payers, which turns out to be payers that weren't really his. So bottom line is, says Abayi, no, in our case, the aid is just trying to help him out. It's testifying for him, not against him. So you can't use that aidus. Can't work against Shimon. So in this case, he wouldn't have to pay the payers. Ella idamya hadra ba'abo. Rather, says Abayi, If you're looking for a good connection, a good comparison, a chazaka case, which is comparable to the story of Rabbi Abba, where in fact the Eid Echad would trigger a repayment, it would be in the following case. L'chatzada, l'atar tishne, u'l'peri. Reuven had a property. Shimon is sitting on it. What are you doing there? Well, Shimon says, I purchased it. And I was there 3 years. Now, Reuven, the owner, produces an Eid Echad who's telling us that Shimon was only there for 2 years. So he's motivated. His agenda is to remove Shimon from that property, to undo Shimon's chazaka. He's coming to testify against Shimon. No, you're only there 2 years. So now, we have a similar case to the story of Naschad Rababa. Since Shimon cannot really go against the Eid Echad, he can't deny the fact. He's also admitting that he was there. He says he was there even 3 years, because he was the owner. So in terms of the technical facts, details, he can't really deny what the Eid Echad is offering. So he's stuck. He can't make it sure. So ultimately, he has to pay. Because, like we explained, he's going to lose the property regardless because he doesn't have an Eidim that he was there 3 years. In terms of the payers, well, we have an Eid Echad saying you ate the payers for 2 years. And you're admitting that you ate the payers for 2 years. Well, you say you had a right to do so because you were there even 3 years. It's ownership. No, you couldn't substantiate that. So you lose the property. You have to pay back for the payers. Continues the Gemara. Ahu Arba, there was a story involving a boat sitting in the river. Dabu Minsu Allah Beitre. Two people were fighting over it. Hayomer Didi. He, Reuben claimed it as his. Hayomer Didi, Shimon claimed it as his. Rashbam says nobody was actually in physical possession of the item. So what happens now? We say kol de olam gavar. Basically, it's a free for all. It's a toss up. Whoever gets it, gets it. Because we can't really get involved when we don't have, you know, any proof one way or the other. Also chad minayil bedina. So Reuven shows up to the Bezdin. He says quickly, you know what? Take possession. Take Bezdin, right? I want it to be placed in, you know, in trust of the court. Take temporary possession of this item because. Give me a chance to get some, you know, proof. I don't want to have to, you know, deal with Shimon once he, you know, I'm afraid that he's going to take possession. I'm not going to be able to get it back. V'omar tells the Bezdin Tifsua, please grab it for me. Adimaisina Sadi, until I can bring the Adim, Didihi, which who will in fact testify that it was mine. So the question is, does Bezdin get involved at this point or not? I'm afraid that my opponent will grab it and he might sell it. So please hold on to it until we figure it out. Tafsina, early Tafsina. Interesting question. Does Bezdin take possession of the item or not? Rashbam explains. On the one hand, maybe the answer is yes. Because what's the downside? If Reuven will not be able to bring Edom, so we'll just put it back in the river. Nobody lost anything. On the other hand, maybe we shouldn't do this because as we're going to see in a minute, there's an opinion which says that once the Bezdin takes possession of an item, they no longer just put it back, you know, into the open unknown. We don't do that. Once we have Mamon Yisrael, once we have Yiddish Yelt in our possession, we have to just hold on to it, take care of it, until we absolutely verify the right owner. So basically, it's sort of an involved question here. It's a two-step question. Because, this is the way the Rashbam learns, if ultimately we're not going to release the item, so we shouldn't be taking it to begin with, lest the real owner lose the opportunity to be able to grab the item and keep it as his. So better just to sit back and not get involved. On the other hand, if you hold that ultimately Bezdin will release the item back into the open, back into the unknown, if in fact no party was successful in providing proof, if that is the halacha, that we do release it, we don't hold on to it indefinitely. So in this case, no downside to grabbing it temporarily. Let's hold on to it for a month or two. Let's figure out what's happening. And if nothing happens, we'll just put it back where it was. So basically, you know, these two points are connected to each other, and one is dependent on the other. The question of whether we take it into our care to begin with is really dependent upon whether, ultimately, if nothing happens, will we just allow ourselves to release it back to its previous state of limbo, or do we say, no, we're going to hold on to it forever? In that case, we should not be taking it to begin with, because if the halacha is called Olam Gavar, that it's meant to be just, you know, a toss-up, a free-for-all, and, you know, let them fight over it, then we have no right getting involved. Okay? So that's the shah. Tafsinan, do we grab it? Do we take possession temporarily or like tafsinan or not? Rabuna Amar, yeah, tafsinan. Rav Yehuda Amar, loy tafsinan, no. And as we're going to see in a minute, because Rav Huna holds that ultimately if he's not successful in providing proof, we'll just put it back where it was. There's no problem. Whereas Rav Yehuda holds, no. Once we have it, we're not going to release it. So we shouldn't take it to begin with. So what happened? Ozav alay ashkach sahadi. And Rashbam says, one or two things could have happened. Either we passed like Rav Huna, and whatever, the Bezdin followed Rav Huna's shita, that we took it into our care. Or maybe both parties agreed that we should take it temporarily. So in that case, of course, we do it. So we waited and waited, and this fellow was supposed to bring proof, and he was not able to. Ozal, he went to Ashkech Sadi, he couldn't find Aiden that was his. He could not find proof of ownership. Amar lo, of course, he turns back to the Bezdin, says, you know what, put it back in the river. So that's a new question. The Olam Gavar, whenever we have a situation of Kol the Olam Gavar, that nobody can provide any proof, and Kol the Olam, the stronger party, will win, basically, we just let them fight over it, and whoever grabs it, grabs it. You know, the Rush says that chances are that the owner will really, you know, fight for it all the way, because he knows he's right. So, very often, the more insistent fellow, the stronger fellow, the one that's putting a bigger fight, is the rightful owner. So that's the rationale behind this solution called the Olam Gavar. So whenever we have the situation, and for some reason Bezdin did take possession temporarily, but it didn't pan out, so what do we do? Mafkinun or mafkinun? Just put it back out or not? Rabbi Damar, mafkinun, we don't do that. Rashi says, since Mamayin Yisrael came beyond Bezdin, we can't just be mafkirit. We have to hold on to it until we can figure out the right owner. Rav Papa Amar Mafkinan. Rav Papa says, no, we put it back where it was, because, you know what, initially that was the mindset. We didn't just take it, took care for it. We took it temporarily with this in mind, that if nothing happens, we'll just revert to its, allow it to revert to the state of limbo. V'lachasan alachas le'tafskinan, we don't take it into our care. V'lachasan le'mafkinan, but if for some reason we did take it into our possession, we no longer allow it to just go back to its state of limbo. We wait until the facts were clarified and the owner was confirmed. So basically we dealt with two stories today. We had a story of the fellow who claimed ownership. He had a chazaka, but only had one aid. The Gemara figured he would have to pay for the pay raise. Abai disagreed because the aid was coming to support him. It's only in the case where the aid is coming against him that we would say that, like the story of the Nascha the Rababa. We concluded with the story of the Arba, the ship, whose owner was never confirmed. Halacha is called Olam Gavar. We pass Molei Tafsinon, Vechad Tafas, Le Mafkin. All the best to you, Slacha Rabba.